So today I thought I would give a sermon that is in harmony with the day, but I'm going to talk about dads and moms and in the sermon. And I'd like to begin in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and begin with the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother." So honor is to be given to one's father and one's mother. Why? There's a reason that God gives us in this particular commandment. God has given the first four commandments, and he's not said the benefit to keeping those commandments, although there most definitely are. But he, in this particular commandment, gives us very specific areas where we can be blessed. In chapter 20, he says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So as you honor your mom and you honor your dad, there's a benefit to it. It is conducive to your living long on the land, and God is the one who's giving you the land, and God is the one who wants you to live long in the land. And he wants you to honor your mother and father because it's going to be conducive to your living long in the land. And if you think of it in the ultimate terms, it's not just a matter of living a lifetime on the land, it's living forever in the land that God will give you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, God repeats the commandment and adds a little bit to it. He says here in the second giving of the law, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that you may live a long and good life, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So God said, honor your mother and father, that you may live long in the land, and that things may be well with you. So God is giving the commandment. He uttered this from Mount Sinai. He inspired Moses to repeat it. And so it's something that is quite important to God. And we might ask, why does honoring your mother and father promote your days being long upon the land? Why does honoring your mother and father promote things going well in the land which God, the Lord your God, is going to give you? I recently, in my Bible reading, have gone through the book of Proverbs, so I'm now on to the book of Ecclesiastes, but I remembered what I had read in the book of Proverbs, and it dawned on me that there's a clear connection between instruction in Proverbs and the fifth commandment. As you start to think about it, they very clearly tie together. It's my goal today to focus on the fifth commandment and the Proverbs. It's my hope that as we examine the Proverbs in light of the fifth commandment, that you'll see how they're related. And I hope that you'll be able to see how the application of the Proverbs in your life is going to help promote your days being long in the land and things going well with you. I noticed as I was looking at this, I was looking through a commentary, the Ironside commentary, and they made an interesting point. We tend to say that the Ten Commandments can be divided, the first four relating to God and the last six relating to our fellow man. But as you think about that, they're the Ten Commandments given by God, and as you look at the fifth commandment especially, it points back to honoring God. And you could make a case for five and five as far as the commandments are concerned. I thought that was interesting. I hadn't thought of that before. As chapter Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God gives you." So this commandment has very clearly recognizes God, recognizes his divine authority and the position of dependence that we have upon him as his creation. We are dependent upon him. And the responsibility to obey the fifth command is not something that's just an Old Testament command. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's not just something that you find in the Old Testament, but God comes forward into the New and reiterates the commandment. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. He says here in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He says, you, young people, need to honor your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And, you know, as you think about obeying your parents, that is how you honor your parents. As your parents give you instruction and set up rules and parameters for you, then you honor them by listening to what they have to say and applying it. It says in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So honor your parents, obey your parents, and learn from them, and that's going to be conducive to your living long on the earth. It's going to be conducive to your having the best life possible. If you go forward a little bit in the scriptures to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So as you honor your parents, as you obey them, it's going to enhance your relationship with them, and it's going to enhance your relationship with God. It's going to bring God's blessing upon you as you give them that honor that God has said that you should give to them. Now, I've talked about the fact that Proverbs relates to this. So let's go over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, and let's think about the Proverbs some. As you look at the Proverbs, they are it's interesting to whom they were written, and it's just always, to me, always so much in the Proverbs that is helpful to us as we think about our lives and how we live them. And if you can take those principles and harness them in your life, it's going to make a huge difference in how you get along with other people and how you'll be blessed in life. So let's begin in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 1. So the Proverbs were written down by Solomon. So Solomon was the one who wrote these Proverbs down. Not all of them. He wrote a lot of them down. Some Proverbs, I believe, were compiled by other kings and put together in the book. And the book is just rich with little statements that we can apply, learn and apply. So why did he write these things down? Let's look at verse 2. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So the purpose of why this was written was to help people to understand wisdom, especially a child. As they're growing up in your home, what is wisdom? What is instruction? And to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. So as a young person, from a biblical perspective, let's say that you're, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're younger, you're considered simple. The reason you're simple is because you do not have the perspective of understanding that you will gain as you grow older. So you're at a certain age and you have a limited amount of knowledge. And there are things that you don't realize are dangerous. Some things that are not good for you, things that are unwise for you to follow that path. And if you have parents who love you and care for you, they're going to tell you, don't do that. Stop doing that and point you in the right direction. So as a young person, you are simple. And really, for most of us, as we came into the church, we were pretty simple too, no matter what age we were. You know, there were things we just didn't understand, things we didn't know, things that were revealed in God's Word that helped us to move from being simple to being more prudent, to being more wise, to having understanding and seeing the better path to follow. Verse 4, it says, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's a wonderful thing to have, knowledge and discretion. to be able to have knowledge and then discreetly use that knowledge in a way that's going to be conducive to your life moving forward in a positive way and your interactions with other people going forward in a positive way. It says in verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. So you're going to hear and you're going to take to heart what you hear. And you don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, but you're going to really listen. And you're going to ask yourself, why? How does this apply to me? Why does this apply? Why does this work or not work? And you're going to ask yourself that. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And there are a lot of people that really don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear it. And so they don't pay much attention to what their parents have to say. It goes on to say, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. He's going to attain wise counsel. And you know, as you think of a young person, do you need counsel? You know, even at my age, do we need counsel? There's some things we don't know the answer to. We don't know the right approach to, even though we may be in our 40s, our 50s, our 60s, we have life experience, but we still don't know the answer. Or to apply the answer is difficult. That's usually where it's at. We know the answer, but doing it, boy, that's hard. So a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. He will take what he's heard and he will hear it and apply it. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. As he says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To realize that God is the revealer of truth and he is the one who inspired the book of Proverbs and the rest of the Bible and all of the things that are written in there in order that we can learn from it. And it's not just reading over words, but we seek to do the best we can to apply it. How does this apply to me? How does this work? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we fear God. And as we fear God and we seek to understand what he reveals, it adds knowledge to our lives. And as we put it into practice, we get better at it. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I know that I would venture to say that most people in our nation that have celebrity status would be classified, biblically speaking, as fools. All right, just look at their lives and you're like, I would say that's probably foolish. You know, some of you may be aware of Justin Bieber, he's known for being a fool. He's done lots of foolish things, and he's not the only person. Okay, so it's pretty commonplace when you have lots of money and you lack the character to go with it, you tend to do things you wouldn't do otherwise. And that's a lot of that is foolish and destructive. Sometimes they catch on and say, maybe I need to knock this off. But you have, unfortunately, the people that don't, and it comes back to haunt them. So the focus, I wanted to go through that and just lay the groundwork as you think about the Proverbs, that they're to give a young man knowledge and discretion. That's why God inspired these, to give a young man knowledge and discretion. And you know, for all of us who are parents, every one of us would love for our children to live by what's revealed in the Proverbs. Is there anybody that says, well, I don't want my kid learning that stuff? I don't think anybody would say that. We would all say, I want my child to know this and to live by it because it's only going to bring blessings to his life. And it's going to enhance his relationship with God, and it's going to enhance his relationship with me because he's going to be applying the principles that are found in the Scripture. So what caused me to pursue this sermon topic was what we find in the next two verses in Proverbs chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says, "My son, hear." But really, you could say, "My son," or "My daughter, hear." Hear what the Scriptures tell you. And that is the title of my sermon, "My son, my daughter, hear." "My son, my daughter, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." As you think about that, doesn't that relate directly to the fifth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. You have a father, you have a mother, and you honor both of them. You have respect for both of them, because that's what God commanded, and we don't do it just because of God's command, but hopefully we have parents who care about us and love us and are going to teach us the truths. So we hear the instruction of our father. We do not forsake the law of our mother. That's a most important principle to guide all of us in our interactions with our parents. And what's the benefit of following the instruction of a father and the law of your mother? Verse 9 tells us, "For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Ideally, every child is to be a student of his parents, whether male or female. And if you listen to your mother and your father, the things that they've taught you, then it will be like a crown on your head, like a king's crown, or a ornament around your neck which was worn by people of prominence, leaders in ancient times. And it's going to help you to become a leader, help you to become someone who is ready to assume responsibility. Let's go to a few comments that I found on chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 that I thought were helpful. As you look at where it says, "My son, hear," it refers to children of a family. The father and mother have the principal duty of their children's education, and they take it seriously. They don't just have a couple of kids and, "All right, guys, you're on your own." There are people that do that, but that's not what God's expectation was. He said, when you have a child, you have a responsibility. It's your job to raise them. It's your job to teach them. And I'm expecting you to do that. And you can have a powerful impact on your children. So a mother and a father have the principal duty of teaching their children. It's your job. It's one of your jobs. So you teach your kids basic things like you need to eat a balanced diet. I know you only want to eat macaroni and cheese and hot dogs, but that's not going to get it. Okay, you got to eat something that's green once in a while, and something that's called fruit, and you need to eat a variety of things. Because frankly, how many of you would, as little kids, would have eaten anything other than rot gut all the time? Okay, all I ate was for the first few years of my life, my mom would feed me anything that I would eat because I was not eating. So I remember having a lot of mayonnaise sandwiches, which sounds disgusting, but I would eat that bread with a little bit of mayonnaise in between it. So, sorry, but that was the way it was until I was about 5, and there wasn't much of a breakthrough beyond that, but it did get a little bit better. So anyway, I would eaten those forever. You know, Little Debbie cakes, and that's all I would eat the whole time. And you can't sustain a healthy life doing that. So my mom tried to get me to eat better. And those are just basic things that you try to impart to your children. To eat better, eat a good diet, you need to drink water, you need to do all of these things. And you know, if you're a parent, you're probably getting some negative feedback from your child. "Well, I don't want that. I don't like that." And you know, you think, well, they really like this. And then one day, all of a sudden, "I don't like that anymore." And you're like, "Why?" "Well, I just changed my mind." So you're then trying to find something else that they will eat, and it's a interesting experience you have dealing with children. So as you think about parents and taking their responsibility seriously, you do that because you fear the eternal. This child is a blessing from God, and God expects me to be a parent. God expects me to teach them, to impart to them what I know, both in the physical world and in the spiritual world. It's my responsibility. And you know, when you have a child, it's hard work. It's hard work. Because they have boundless energy and you don't, even when you're young. So they've got all this energy and they're ready to go and you're ready to just lay down on the floor and go to sleep, and they're still ready to go. They've just got more juice than you and I do, but you do the best you can. And what you do is you set before them an example of godly living. Because even though you're teaching them, they're going to be watching the way you live. So they're going to record all the things that they see you and your wife or husband do. And they're going to see how you interact. They're going to see if you keep your promises. They're going to listen to what you teach them. And then they're going to compare what you teach them with how you act. Oh, you mean they're going to hold me accountable? Yes, they are. So it matters what you teach. It matters how you live. And they're watching you, and you know, they're real quick to point out when you fall short. You know, so that's just how kids are. Well, Dad, I remember my dad said, don't smoke. All right, so he was a smoker, and he couldn't quit, and he'd show us, he'd take a handkerchief out and suck the smoke through the handkerchief and show us all the black stuff that's in there. Now, you guys don't start smoking. So our question was always, well, if that's true, why do you keep smoking? Then we'd hear the don't do as I do as I say. And we'd all like, I'm not sure we buy that. But anyway, he eventually did quit. And, you know, it was on a Father's Day, and we told him, well, Dad, we love you. We want you to keep on living, so maybe you would quit. So he did. He actually did. So it was a tough go for him, and kind of scary at times. I know my brother was in the car with him coming back from Pop Warner football practice, and my dad was a little agitated from not smoking. So he was really driving fast. So my brother realized this is a little precarious, so he kept his helmet on in the car. So he figured, if this goes wrong, I'm at least protected. So, or at least have something on my head. So, and you didn't have seat belts back then, so it could be through the windshield, but at least I've got my helmet on. So anyway, I'll always remember that. And so anyway, you know, you, as a parent, it's your job to teach your children. And it's not just a father's job, it's a mother's job as well. Another comment said, this is the voice of a godly father urging his son to listen to wisdom and obey what he hears. It's coming from the point of view of a father, but a mother is part of the quotient as well. Note that both the father and mother have been involved in teaching the boy, and they both warn him not to abandon what he's been told. Listen to what we've told you, because it's going to be good for you. It's going to show you the right path. So these parents are being faithful to what God has taught them in Deuteronomy 6. It says, when you have children, then you talk about the truths of God's word when you get up, when you go through the day, and when you come to the end of the day. It's part of your life 24/7. And the parents' desire is that the children would obey what they learned. And why is that? Why is it a parent's desire that their children would obey what they've learned? Well, as it says in verse 9 of Proverbs 1, that these things that as they put them into practice, they'll be like a lovely ornament to beautify their lives, like a crown on a king or a necklace on a queen. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Titus 2, verse 10. This is not talking about children so much, but it's talking about people that have come to know the truth. In the particular example here, it's talking about slaves, people that were slaves in a household and how they were to conduct themselves. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Let's start in verse 9. It says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. So it's talking about somebody who was a servant in a household. And is telling, and Paul is telling them that there's a particular way that they could conduct, they should conduct themselves because they are Christians. They are Christians. They have come to know the truth, and Paul says there's a way that you're to live. And you're to live this way with your own masters. To be well-pleasing in all things. So you're doing your best to be pleasing to your master. You know, we would apply this in relationship to a boss in our particular time. Because, you know, we don't have people in servitude at this particular time. But you would apply this to a boss. We would be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. You know, we wouldn't give them lip, back talk, sass, whatever you want to call it. We would seek to be careful with our words and have our words be something that is pleasing to God. Not pilfering. So, pilfering is taking small stuff. I'm going to take some envelopes, take some paper clips, take some pencils. I got a few pens. Take all this home. That's pilfering. We're not talking about embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's beyond pilfering. But you shouldn't even be pilfering, much less taking big stuff. You know, you're working at the GM plant, you just drive a car off and take it home. That would be inappropriate for a Christian to do. So we're not even to pilfer. But showing off good fidelity, you are a person who is faithful in your service. And why? Why conduct yourself in this way as a servant? I thought this was interesting. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And so what does that mean when he says that they would adorn? I thought the Amplified Bible said it well. It says, tell bondservants to be submissive to their masters, to be pleasing and give satisfaction in every way. Warn them not to talk back or contradict, nor to steal by taking things of small value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout. See, you're loyal. You're faithful all the time. That's how God is. He's faithful to us. He's loyal to us all the time, and we're to be growing to be like Him. So that in everything they may be an ornament and do credit to the teaching which is from and about our God, our Savior. So we want to see by the way we conduct ourselves in those circumstances, whether it's an employee or whatever way that we're interacting with other people, we want to be an adornment. Something that is putting on display Christianity so they can see it. And it looks well pleasing to them. And it is a way that your boss and your other employees may not be Christians, but they've seen a Christian in action. They've seen the way you interact with the boss. They've seen the way you interact with them. They've seen your conduct. And they've seen that it's a pleasing conduct. And you do your best to get along with them and to be a person that basically shines the light of God's truth wherever you're at. Let's think about this. As you think about giving honor, you know, you're to give honor to your parents. Most of us have known people that don't have much respect for their parents for whatever reason. They don't have much respect to them. So they're not going to listen to their parents. Every one of us has probably known people that haven't listened to their parents. In fact, they don't listen to anything they have to say. And you know, as you're a young person and you're trying to establish your own life, it's easy for you to come to the conclusion that my parents don't know anything. All my parents do is restrict me. They make my life miserable. I can't do all of the things that I want to do. I've had those very thoughts. How can they keep me from doing this or that? And so my parents did set bounds on us. But you know, as you think about that, you don't want to listen to your parents. What is that really when you get right down to it? It is what causes you to not honor your parents. It's a prideful approach. you're filled with pride. I know more than they do. I'm not listening to them. And what do the Proverbs tell us about pride? Pride is discussed at length in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When you're prideful, you're walking on the edge, and it's likely you're going to fall sooner or later. And pride, when you're prideful, you're not going to listen. Who are they? I'm not going to listen to those people. I don't have any respect for them. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. In Proverbs 29, verse 3, it says, 23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low. If you want to fall, if you want to be brought down low, then be prideful. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. The humble in spirit will retain honor. Humility is fundamental to your relationship with God. And for you to listen to your parents requires humility. Requires a rejection of the prideful approach and saying, you know, I'm going to listen to my parents and try to learn from them. And, you know, as you think about the ultimate prideful approach is talked about in Proverbs 14, verse 12, where it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to do it my way. And it ends badly. And that goes on every day. And probably some of us have had that same mindset. I'm going to do it my way. And we have to have a different attitude, you know, to listen to our parents and most importantly, listen to our Heavenly Father. What does He say? Not my will, but your will be done, Father. And that requires humility. It requires humility. The prideful mind is a mind that says, why should I listen? And I just happened to be working on this and came across this quote in a book that I'm reading by Jordan Peterson talking about 12 rules for life. And this is in the foreword. It's not even him talking, but it fits with what he believes. And I thought it was interesting. It says, the quote begins this way, rules, more rules, really? Isn't life complicated enough? Isn't it complicated enough without abstract rules that don't take our unique individual situations into account? Yes, I know there are those rules, but I'm me. I'm different. I'm unique. I don't need these rules. And given that our brains are plastic and all develop differently based on our life experiences, why even expect that a few rules might be helpful to us all? So humanly, we don't want rules. We don't want restrictions. That's the way we are as human beings. And he goes on to say in the quote, people don't clamor for rules even in the Bible. As when Moses comes down the mountain after a long absence, bearing the tablets inscribed with 10 commandments, and finds the children of Israel in revelry. They'd been Pharaoh's slaves for 400 years. That's not accurate, but that's what the quote says. And after that, Moses subjected them to the harsh desert wilderness, and Moses didn't subject them to the harsh wilderness. God led them into the wilderness, okay? Moses just was in the lead. He was following God as well. And he led them into the desert wilderness for 40 years to purify them from their slavishness. Now free at last, they are unbridled and have lost all control as they dance wildly around an idol, a golden idol displaying all manner of corruption. And they just heard the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments said, don't make idols. Don't bow down before idols. And here they are doing that very thing. So rules there will be, but please not too many. We have mixed feelings about rules even when we know they are good for us. If we are spirited souls, if we have character, rules seem restrictive, an affront to our sense of agency and our pride in working out our own lives. why should we be judged according to another's rules? Why? Why do we have to practice those rules? What? I'm my own person. I can do what I want. And judged we are. After all, God didn't give Moses the 10 suggestions. He gave commandments. And if I'm a free agent, my first reaction to a command might just be that nobody, not even God, tells me what to do. And you know, over my years in the church, I've had people tell me, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I ask, are you headed in the right direction? You just aren't, nobody's going to tell me what to do. It's a completely different mindset than, you know, that rule seems restrictive, but you know what? It's not my will, but God's will be done, and I'll follow that rule unless it's against God's law. If it's not, I'll do my best to follow it. And it just makes such a difference in the way we approach life. So, anyway, it says, and the story suggests something more. Unchaperoned and left to our own untutored judgment, we are quick to aim low. So when people have no rules, no regulations, no laws, no statutes, what do? They go for the lowest common denominator. That's human beings. That's the way we are as humans. And worship qualities that are beneath us. In this case, an artificial animal that brings out our own animal instincts in a completely unregulated way. The old Hebrew story makes it clear how the ancients felt about our prospects for civilized behavior in the absence of rules that seek to elevate our gaze and raise our standards. God gave us the commandments. God said, honor your mother and father. Listen to them because it's going to raise your focus. It's going to move you beyond yourself and help you to see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. Most of us, as we instructed our children, did not instruct them just to be restrictive. Now, we each have our own particular household rules about certain things. And those, you're free to do that. But we all kind of recognize certain truths and values that we want our kids to pick up. And those rules are important for life. So that quote's from 12 Rules for Life. So I just started reading it, but it seems like it'll be an interesting read. Proverbs 3, verse 9 tells us something about rules. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's a basic instruction that God gives to us. He says, when you get a paycheck, you should tithe on it. Isn't that something we try to teach our children? Okay, you're getting a dime, you got 10 pennies, one of those pennies is for God. So you try to teach them that value starting on a small scale. And you want them to pick up that value and carry it through in the rest of their lives. So you try to instruct them in that. And as you do, God says, as you honor him in that way with your possessions, it says your barns will be filled. It says that that with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Isn't that being blessed by God? And God wants to give those blessings to you and your children. And it's a basic value that you can impart to your children. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 4, humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. To walk humbly before God and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. It is the best life that we can live. So we see that the Proverbs seek to get our attention, and if you look at a word that's found throughout that whole book, it's here. It's listen. And it's written from a parent's point of view, the way that a parent would want the child to listen. And I'd like to focus on a few things that are said in Proverbs chapter 1 beyond what we've already looked at in verses 15 through 19. It's interesting what the parent is saying. It says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Restrain your foot from their path." So this parent's child is being solicited to follow a certain path. And you know as well as I do that as your kids go to school, they will be impacted by their peers. And their peers are going to be saying, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other thing. And they want to be friends with them, and it's easy for them to give in and follow along with what they're doing. And the advice of the parent is, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Don't even get on that path. And I can remember my mother telling me those very things, which I resented at the time. But she was prudent enough to see things I didn't, just like the instruction we find here. Verse 16, "For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood." And that's the worst of it. Nobody ever enticed me to shed blood, but to drink, to smoke, to steal. I was enticed in all those ways. And your kids will be too. And they're enticed in those ways and more today. The box, Pandora's box, is way bigger than it used to be. A lot of stuff that you can let out of there now as a young person that was not available to me. We were so limited back in those days. And I'm glad. So anyway, kids have to face some real challenges today that we didn't have to face. But you have people that will entice them to run to evil. Let's do these things. And some go so far as to get involved in theft and even murder. Verse 17, "For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird." See, these guys are such fools that they don't realize they're setting up a trap for themselves. And even birds, when they see a trap, say, "I'm not going to get in that trap. I'm going to avoid this." But these guys are so foolish and blind, they don't see the trap. And you know, I visited with a couple of guys in prison. They were young teenagers, and they began stealing. And they picked out a house that they were going to rob, and they went in the house, and they were robbing it, and there was an older couple. And they thought they had gone to bed and everything was cool. Well, the older gentleman came downstairs. And they didn't mean to kill him, but they didn't end up killing him. And so when I went to visit them in prison, they were maybe in their 20s. They were in their in prison forever. They were never getting out. And they realized, as they were older and more mature, that the path that they were on was not a good path. But they didn't see it at the time. Their vision was limited to the immediate. Hey, we're going to pick up some cash or whatever, stuff we can sell. We can get some booze, drugs, whatever it may be. And life is good. And it's all immediate. But they didn't see the long-term ramifications. They did not see the trap. And if you follow that path, eventually you get caught in the trap. And trust me, if you, as a young person, get involved with them, you know, as you get caught in the trap, you know who's going to be the one that ends up there and gets the penalty? You are. These guys will jump out the window. Maybe they're faster than you, and the cops get you, and you're the one that goes down for it. Well, I was just along with them. I wasn't doing anything. And boom, it doesn't matter. And once you're caught, you're caught. It says, verse 18, "But when these men set a trap for others, they are lying in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain. Such greed for plunder takes away the lives of its possessors." So you have people that become involved in theft, and they don't look at the long-term ramifications. And inevitably, when you go down that path, you may get away with it for a while, but eventually it's going to catch up with you, and the penalty is great. And it may be a penalty that impacts you for the rest of your life. Let's look at some examples of hearing and hearing of instruction. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord." And you know, that's where it's worthwhile to go through the Proverbs and think about each one of them. How does this apply in my life? Am I applying it? How should I apply it? When should I apply it? And there's lots of information that is foundational to life. It says, "Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you?" That you'll know the truth, and the truth will be in your mind. It'll be on the tip of your tongue. And what counsel is given is, it says in verse 22, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor." You know, when you begin to rob the poor because they're poor, where are you at in life? You have become a predator. And you begin to look at people who are poor, people who are weak, people whom you can take advantage of. You have moved down the road to where you have that mindset where you're looking at them as people who are vulnerable. You're not to oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. They may seem like they're weak and they have no defender. There's nobody that's going to stand up for them. And that may be the appearance on the surface. But you know who is watching out for them? They've got a silent partner who is watching for them, the great God. So when you breach their house or whatever you do, you roll them for their Social Security check, whatever it may be, God is watching that, and God is will eventually take action. It says in verse 24, Proverbs 22, verse 24, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man." There are people that are very angry and get angry very easily. Why not make friends with an angry man? Why should you say, "Well, this guy gets angry at the immediately and flies off the handle"? Why would it be unwise to make friendship with him? Well, it says at the end of the verse in verse 25, "Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." You know, as you hang out with angry people, it's easier to be angry. So if you note somebody is angry and flies off the handle pretty easily, it's a good idea to say, maybe I should not hang out with this person. Verse 28, Proverbs 22, verse 28. It says, "Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set." How would that apply to us today? You know, many of us live in tract housing, and we have a certain line that marks our property and the other guy's property, so we don't encroach on his property. Well, I'm going to pick up a few, a foot or two here and all of that. It's unwise to do that. It inevitably creates conflict. Your neighbor's eventually going to realize, your fence is on my side. I don't think so. Yeah, it is. I had it surveyed. Oh. So maybe you need to move your fence back a little bit. And then, I'm not moving that fence. Well, yeah, you are going to move the fence. So then you've got an altercation with your neighbor. And I know from disputes about stuff like that, that things can go very wrong. If you lived in Kentucky, it can go wrong to the point of somebody's not going to be standing upright any longer. So in different parts of the world, they're very protective of the marks that set their property apart from yours. Another one, it says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work?" If you see somebody that hustles and really works hard, what do you think about him? Well, why would that guy work so hard? Why would he do what the boss wants him to do, or maybe even exceed what the boss wants him to do? He's just wanting to get brownie points with the boss. Now, that's the wrong way to look at it. Maybe wisdom would say, you know what? that guy really works hard. Maybe I need to try to work hard too. So, in Proverbs 23, verse 19, it says, "Hear, my son, and be wise." So hear, my son, and be wise. "And guide your heart in the way." And what does he tell them right after that? Why? He says, "Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." How many of you have been told, don't drink and drive? How many of you have been told, you're too young to drink? I was told all those things. So what do? Well, my mom's not looking, my dad's not looking, so who cares? That's an unwise path. And, for my wife and I, we'll always remember an experience that we had when I had just become an elder. And so having become an elder, then it was my job to accompany the pastor as he went to a family's house to tell them that their son was dead, killed in a car accident. They had been drinking, they lost it, rolled the car, and the one boy was killed. The others survived. But this family will never forget that day, and my wife never forgets it because it's such a tragedy. The boy's life came to an end early. And, but lots of people drink and drive, and they don't think anything about it. And it's unwise to do so. And most of us as parents would advise our children, don't do that. It's an unwise path. You're taught lots of different things in the scriptures. And the book of Proverbs is filled with all of these wonderful sayings that are guides to life. And as you take those things to heart, they're going to bring blessings in your life. Now, I'd like to end by talking about perilous times. Perilous times. Wisdom is to honor your father and mother. That that everything would be well and you would be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. But the Proverbs in chapter 30 mentions something interesting. Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14. It says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." That's not every generation, but there are generations that follow that path, some more than others. Verse 12, "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness." They don't need to be washed from their filthiness because they believe that they're pure in their own eyes. Verse 13, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." They're filled with pride. They're filled with pride. Verse 14, "There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives." I think it's interesting as you look at the language that is used on TV and the news and all of this and the comments that are made, they're pretty vicious. I would say that some of those comments would right up there with swords and fangs that are like knives. "To devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men." And let's look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. So Paul is evaluating the world apart from God. He evaluates the Jews, and he evaluates the world apart from God, and there are people that have chosen not to follow God, and there's a consequence to that. And he talks about these people in Romans 1 being given over to a debased mind in verse 28. And then he goes on and talks about what a debased mind produces. And one of the things that it does produce is disobedience to parents, where a characteristic of that generation that whose mind has become debased, they have no respect for their parents. And as a result of not having any respect for their parents, they don't respect much of anything or anybody. And to live in a way that is disrespectful is a hard life to live. It lacks humility. It's a prideful approach, and you're always in confrontation with other people. It's a hard way to live. And you go to, let's go to 2 Timothy. Paul made that mention in Romans, and then he made a similar mention in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's talking about the perilous times that are going to come. And he said, as we come to the end of the age and the people have drawn away from God, that debased mind has come to rule the world, there are going to be certain outcomes as a result of that approach. And one of the things he mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is disobedience to parents. They are disobedient to parents. A comment that I ran across says, believing children should be patterns of filial obedience, that is, you respect your and obey your parents. That they may adorn the doctrine of Christ, young people who profess allegiance to God but are impudent and disrespectful to those over them in the home are really a reproach of him whom they are supposed to serve. So you call yourself a Christian and you have no respect for your parents. You're disrespectful to them. You dishonor them. You do not obey them. Those are serious issues. To hear a father's instruction and to cleave to a mother's law are the ornaments that beautify the young person. The Apostle Paul classifies disobedience to parents among the evidences of the end of the age. And we see its evidence. We see its evidence. It is the crying sin of the present lawless times. This is from the Ironside Commentaries. And presages the awful hour of doom soon to strike. The scriptural, children obey your parents, has almost universally been superseded by parents obey your children. It is a sowing of the wind, and the whirlwind will yet be reaped. The human will disdains being bound in any way, and the outcome will be terrible. But that is the path that we're on, a lack of respect for parents and authority. And Proverbs 19, verse 26. Proverbs 19, verse 26 and 7, these are the last two verses. It says in verse 26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. When you lose respect for your parents and you act in this way, you will cease listening to God and you will find yourself going in the wrong direction. And our world is moving away from the Bible. It's moving away from the fifth commandment, moving away from honoring one's father and mother. And as this trend plays out in society, not only are one's physical parents not honored, but the great God who gave the fifth commandment isn't honored either. And the result, by not honoring our mother and father, our days will not be long in the land, and it will not be well with us. But we know that we are to follow the fifth commandment from our youth to the end of our lives. And the benefit of that, Proverbs 1 verse 8 again. My son, my daughter, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. They will bring you only blessings and all of the good things that God offers to you. So, honor your father and your mother. Give them the respect that is their due. And I know it's not always easy. And especially as a young person, boy, you want to go your own way. But if you take to heart these things, it will bring blessing to you. So I hope everybody will have a most wonderful Father's Day. And so we do have a goodie bag for you, so please pick those up. So thanks for your attention, and please have a good remainder of the week.